Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Joe Donahue along with Sarah LaDuke, who is our producer. She is our co-host right now because she's contractually obligated whenever our next guest is on, she joins me. And I'm thrilled for that to be the case.
We go back a ways now.
Yes. Singer-songwriter Josh Ritter performs along with the Royal City Band tonight at the Egg in Albany, in support of his new album, Sermon on the Rocks.
2 years after Beast in its tracks, the singer-songwriter is back with his eighth full-length album, Sermon on the Rocks. The 12 songs were recorded over 2 weeks at the New Orleans The Parlor recording studio.
As its title suggests, the album is Ritter's foray into what he calls messianic oracular honky-tonk.
Did you call it that?
When did that come into the conversation?
I like the way those words sounded.
Absolutely.
I think they get the album across, but I mostly just love the way they sounded.
They're fun to say.
Yeah.
I included them in the introduction. I don't want to miss that. We are thrilled to have Josh Ritter join us here in the Linda before he plays the Egg tonight. How have you been?
Oh, I've been great. Been great. Thank you for having me back.
Well, it's really nice that you come and do this. We appreciate it greatly that you come and spend time with us and perform music. The album, as we mentioned, Sermon on the Rocks, came out in October, but you've been working on this, on the tracks on this, for quite a while, I think.
Yeah, I when you get done with a record and you kind of sit around disconsolate for a couple weeks and then start to get the itch to work on more songs, you know. And I guess the great thing that I learned on this record was that I could just write and write and write and then choose the songs I wanted. I wasn't writing for a record. I was just writing because we were living up in Woodstock and there was a lot of good writing time. It was great.
What is good writing time made up of?
Well, you know, it was that kind of I had my daughter was born and she was two when we were up there and there was so much she was a handful, you know. Yeah. And like my time changed from when I was a songwriter with no kids who like sat around and tried to think deep thoughts all day to one who's kind of running and chasing a kid. I had to keep the ideas in my head without writing them down and it just became a really fun game to write songs as much as I could in my head, and it kind of made the process and the fun of it brand new again. And I ended up writing a number of these songs just in little like 90 tiny little scraps of time, and it was like made it really fun. I don't know why.
Can you tell us about the cover art on the album, please?
Yeah, another thing I kind of got into was I woke up one day and I realized I really wanted to paint something gold. I wanted to paint something big and gold. So I ordered these canvases, which were 6 feet by 6 feet, and came and were incredibly in the way in our house for months. And I painted them. I started painting just these big kind of gold canvases with a bunch of colors kind of mixed in, and it began to feel like part of the album was the painting. It started to feel like kind of letting loose and cutting yourself free artistically. It felt like this record was really about that.
Did you do them together in the sense of, was there a connection between the art and the songwriting?
I think there is, but I can't exactly tell what it is. It makes sense in my head, you know. I began wearing this. I got weird up there. I began wearing.
That's so rare in Woodstock, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I started wearing this this big jumpsuit for painting, which got all gold and
yeah, you look like a flying Willender or something.
Yeah,
I mean it's very nice. It's good. Do you still have that in your wardrobe?
Yes, I do. I was wearing it a little bit on tour. It reminds me of just being a wild man. It's really fun.
The first song you're going to play for us this morning is from the new album. Can you tell us a little bit about Henrietta, Indiana before you play it?
I got this, the name Henrietta, Indiana jumped into my head. It seemed like a really, like a plausible place, but also a place that had a bit of a fantastical feel. And this song is about, I started to realize it was about this girl who's maybe 20 years old. Henrietta, Indiana, mill town. Locked the factory down and shut it up tight. My daddy and my brother and 1,600 others lost everything they had in the night. Daddy got a taste for the hard stuff. Henrietta, Indiana was dry. And we'd ride out to Putney. He'd tell me he loved me. The drive home was always so quiet. He had a devil in his eye. Like a thorn in the paw. Disregard for the law. Disappointment to the Lord on high. My brother practiced preaching in the basement. Perspiration on his face till I knew that something was missing. His spirit was willing. He could not believe it was true. And blessed be the poor, he said, your treasure is on high. But all of Henrietta, Indiana heard me hallelujah when I finally saw the devil in his eyes. Saw the devil in his eyes. Like a thorn in the paw. Disregard for the law. Disappointment to the Lord on high. And I was coming home late, from midnight to 8. The radio said they'd ID the plates. Left 3 men dead, made their escape by now. Said the sheriff they'll be in the next day. Will we be able to catch them? Can they bring the dogs in? Can they call up the bureau? Do they have next to kin? Cameras came to our door, I opened it wide. They thought I was crying. It was something in my eye. Leave a bottle on the table, the Bible open to the Sermon on the Mount. And blessed be the poor of Henrietta, Indiana, but happy are the ones that get out. I think I'll ride over to Putney. The store be open till 12. The empty parking lot, the lights, the lonely kid, the register. I see it all clear as a bell. I got a devil in my eye. Like a thorn in the paw, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high. Like a thorn in the paw, disregard for the law, disappointment to the Lord on high.
Josh Ritter performing Henrietta, Indiana from the new album Sermon on the Rocks. Could that have been you at 20?
Probably not. But that's one of the fun things about you know, writing is that, like, if you can sway yourself away from too much autobiography, then the whole world opens up to write about, you know.
Now, I find that fascinating because a lot of people will say write what you know.
Yeah.
Dig deep, but if you get out of your own head, right?
Yeah.
Then there's no stopping you. You can write about whatever you want.
I really feel that, like, writing about what you know is one of the worst pieces of advice that you can be given. Like, write about things you don't. Like, that's like where the fun is, you know.
And can you be as knowledgeable then if you don't know about it?
Well, I don't think that especially with fiction or with writing that there should be like a huge store put on truth in the first place. I mean, that's the none of it is true, and you know, if you can get it so that it seems true, that's good. I always like the story of Flannery O'Connor showing her some story to a friend, and the friend said, well, that's just what people like that would do, and that's like the best way of writing, I think.
How soon in your songwriting career did you discover that you would write what you didn't know? Or did you start out that way?
I think I always started out like that. I had really good mentors in that way. When I listened to music by Dylan or by Tom Waits, say, or Leonard Cohen, or or you know, that type of songwriting was fantastical, and I, and there's people that write about, like, there's somebody like Lucinda Williams who can write so personally and beautifully, or so I feel it's so rare to be able to do that.
Which I guess, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but it seems the album is so eclectic, and I would assume that is part of the reason why, because it can be fantastical.
Yeah, I think that's one of the real things that I discovered on this record, which I've carried forward since in the year or so since like Sermon was finished. I think that I realized that writing, you know, writing as much as possible and just letting the songs like sift themselves out was a really important thing. And I was writing in all kinds of ways. I was trying to get away from the guitar for a certain amount of it. And I, you know, I started writing stuff on the keyboard, and I started working with computer programs a lot more than I have, which was really fun, and came up with some really some weird cool stuff, which I was really excited to put on the record. But then there's other things, you know, that are just are kind of like that are sweet little numbers that I didn't want to change anything about, you know. So that was there's so many different types of things on the record, and I'm really happy about that.
You have been recording albums in Maine at the Great North Sound Society,
yeah.
Sam Kassir's spot.
Yeah.
But you recorded this one in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Was the change of venue a change of pace?
It was. I knew it was like there was a. I knew I wanted to change up things just because I felt like the time to try something different, and when I, you know, finally made up my mind about that, like, then New Orleans jumped into my head immediately as the kind of guiding principle of how the recording would go, which was that I just loved New Orleans. You know, you'd stop there on tour for maybe 12 hours and just get this like tantalizing taste of something that seemed so cool, and so getting to spend about 2 weeks down there and live in the kind of bloodstream there was really powerful. You know, we weren't trying to make a New Orleans record, just to go and be around it.
Sure, sip some of their flavor.
Yeah, and it was so fun.
The next song you're gonna play is Monster Ballads.
Sure, yeah. This is an older tune that I just wanted to play.
Cool.
Radio waves are coming miles and miles. They're bringing only empty boats. Whatever feeling they had when they sailed somehow slipped out between the notes. Out on the desert now and I'm feeling lost. The bonnet wears a wire albatross. It's monster ballads or the stations of the cross. Sighing just a little bit. Sighing just a little bit. And I was thinking about what Katie'd done. Thinking about what Katie did. The fairest daughter of the Pharaoh's son. She's dressed in gold neath pyramids. Out on the desert now and I'm feeling lost. The bonnet wears a wire albatross. It's monster ballads or the stations of the cross. Sighing just a little bit. Sighing just a little bit. The ones and zeros bleed their mason noise. And when you're empty, there's so much space for them. You turn it off, oh, then a still small voice comes in blazing from some vast horizon. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about my river days, and I was thinking about me and Jim, and passing Cairo on a getaway with every steamboat like a hymn. Out on the desert now and I'm feeling lost. The bonnet wears a wire albatross. It's monster ballads or the stations of the cross, sighing just a little bit and smiling just a little bit.
Monster Ballads, sung by Josh Ritter, our guest on the roundtable this morning. Man, that sounds great.
Thank you.
What was that, 2008?
2000. I probably wrote it in 2005.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was on tour with Joan Baez, and we were out and we were in West Virginia, and had played a really early show, and I went out looking for a liquor store because I thought that'd be, but it was Sunday and they were all closed. So I went back to my room and I wrote that song, and I'm really glad that they were all closed that day.
There's a moment I just think of, like, you and Joan Baez looking for a liquor store. It's a great visual.
Yeah, they were together.
That's great.
True.
That's a great, great idea. Was it Animal Years? Was that the album?
Yeah, Animal Years. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
So now the new album comes out. It comes out in October. You're out. You're touring. You're having fun. And then do you then go back into that idea of, okay, I'm going to sit down, settle down, and write? Or is that a constant process?
It's kind of constant. I've been writing a lot. I've just been writing a lot. And I'm excited to kind of go back in and start working on something new. It gets really kind of exciting right around this time, because the songs are happening. You kind of know how the record you want it to feel, and you're talking to your producer and you're talking to your band and you're trying to decide where to record. It's a really fun time. It feels like you're planning a party.
Do you perform any of the songs?
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
you try them out.
I try them out. Yeah, yeah. I give them a shot. Yeah.
But you were jumping back to something we talked about before, your painting.
Yeah.
You were doing an art exchange on Instagram. Can you tell us why you wanted to do that and how it went?
It's something I'm kind of doing on and off. I love painting, and I don't claim to be any good at it, but I really enjoy it, you know? But there's only so many pictures that you've painted yourself that you can hang in your own home, you know? It gets weird. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, like, well, I really want to keep doing this, but I maybe it'd be fun to trade with some of the kind of graphic artists who kind of have followed me on Instagram, and people do amazing things, you know. People do these incredible things that just alone in their houses and just working away, and it's really inspiring, you know. So I had a really great time kind of trading some art, and like I want to keep on doing it as soon as I get the chance to get my brushes out again. Yeah.
What do you, because it seems the art that I've seen that you've done is, and you mentioned this with the gold, but it seems to be very colorful.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to be, you're wearing black now, but
you
do seem to be drawn to color.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It's like there's a lot of colors in music. I feel that there's a lot of like there's a lot of I wouldn't say that certain chords have colors, but certain songs for me have colors, where there's just this a pervasive sense of something, and it sort of feels like part of the movie that's going on in your head when you're playing.
Is music a part when you're actually painting?
It's not actually. I tend to listen to something. I usually will listen to like an awesome, like, you know, book on tape while I'm working, you know. I actually have to say that I listened a lot to the Roundtable when I was, you know, when I was in Woodstock and working away. So that was cool.
Well, that is
that to thank you for.
Well, thanks for the plug.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, I mean it. Really, it's true.
I'd love to see the art you created while you were listening to our show. God only knows what that is.
The last time you were here, probably about a year and a half ago, you, before we went on air, said, I wrote this song, but I can't get the breath to sing it.
Oh, yeah.
You have to, like, figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
Which I told you before we went on air is the next song you're going to sing now, and you can sing it now.
Yeah.
But I've had the album since October, and I cannot. So I'm going to watch your breathing. I'm going to watch your breathing while you perform and figure out where the breaths are.
It's like that. Sometimes you get ahead of yourself, and you write, and you don't have enough breath. Yeah, it's amazing.
So it's Getting Ready to Get Down from Sermon on the Rocks.
Here we go. Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. Now you're coming back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. Eve ate the apple because the apple was sweet. Kind of God would ever keep a girl from getting what she needs. And I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. People cross street when you walk in their direction, talk between the teeth and throwing epithets. And the doctor thinks the devil must have got you by your senses. But to live the way you please doesn't sound like possession. It's 4 long years studying the Bible. Infidels, Jezebel, Salomas, and Delilahs. Back off the bus in your own hometown. You didn't like me then, you probably won't like me now. But I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. And all the men of the country club, the ladies of the Zilla are talking about love like it's apple pie and liberty. To really be a saint, you gotta really be a virgin, dry as a page of the King James Version. No la-las, no hell yeses, no I can't wait. So I gotta see you again, sis. Turn the other cheek, take no chances. Jesus hates your high school dances. He's got a lot of time. Said your soul needed saving, so they sent you off to Bible school. You knew a little more than they had heard was in the golden rule. Be good to everybody, be a strength to the weak. Be a joy to the joyful, be the laughter and the grief. And give your love freely to whoever that you please. Don't let nobody tell you about the who you ought to be. And when you get damned in the popular opinion, it's just another damn, other damns you're not giving that. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. Mama got a look at you and got a little worried. Papa got a look at you and got a little worried. The pastor got a look and said, y'all better hurry. Send her off to a little Bible college in Missouri. Now you're coming back saying you know a little bit about every little thing they ever hoped you'd never figure out. The Red Sea, the Dead Sea, the Sermon on the Mount. You want to see a miracle? Watch me get down tonight. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down. I'm getting ready to get down tonight. I'm getting ready to get down. Getting ready to get down, getting ready to get down. Whoa.
That's great.
Thank you.
Wow, that is just great. Have you figured out the breathing?
I'm just never going to be able to do it. I don't need to.
I barely.
As long as Josh can.
Jesus hates your high school dances. Favorite line. That was a new track off the new album, Getting Ready to Get Down. The new album is Sermon on the Rocks. Came out in October. And Josh Ritter is going to be at the Egg in Albany. You played there how many times? Many.
4 or 5 times now, which is great.
You like playing in an egg?
Oh, I love it. I love it. I always look forward to it every time.
Josh Ritter's new album is Sermon on the Rocks. Again, he'll be at the Egg tonight, 8 o'clock, with the Royal City Band and special guest Darling Side. You want to give them a shout-out?
Yeah.
They're great?
Yeah, they're awesome. I'm really psyched. They're just with me for one show. I wish they were worth more.
Well, you can find out more about the show by going to theegg.org, theegg.org. Josh Ritter, a great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you
both. Very much.
This was awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Again, theegg.org.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.